hearts will be changed by your truth, your word. Thank you again for each one, each family member that came out this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight, as far as announcements go, I mean, everything we've seen, you see everything in there, the men's Bible study, the women's Bible study, OCC. For the month of April, we'll be collecting soap, washcloths for the OCC. Philip and Bethany Herdwalt, there are the missionaries for the month of April. Keep not just them, but all our missionaries, like I said, had in the past. Keep them all in prayer because they're suffering worse than we will probably ever see in this country. Because we're born in the freedom that we have to actually preach the gospel and to spread the truth and the word of God in this country. They don't, and they're experiencing difficulties all over the world because of that. But church work day be April 29th or on May 6th, depending on the weather. There'll be more information as we get closer to those dates. There's a lot of outdoor cleanup, a lot of outdoor painting to do. There's also the furnace room that needs cleaned out and some indoor spring cleaning and indoor painting as well. If you'd like to set aside that date, either one of those dates, whether it be because depending on the weather or not, now save the date for the mother-daughter banquet. It'll be May 13th at 6 p.m. Sign-up sheet on the bulletin board out there. There's also a sign-up sheet out on the bulletin board. It's May 20th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's sort of a craft night, making toys for Operation Christmas Child. If you'd like to sign up, there's a sign-up sheet out there as well for that. Tom Kirkwood's funeral will be there'll be a viewing on Tuesday this week from 5 to 8, Wednesday from 10:30 to 12 noon. Pastor will have the service at 12, and there will be a dinner here to follow. Okay, there'll be dinner here to follow up with that as well. As far as announcements go, also keep in mind, Gary, Wendy, you guys are going there. They'll be traveling to Israel, in a couple weeks? 2 weeks. We'll be going with the church group. Pray for safety as well for each and every one, and guidance and wisdom and direction as they go. And pray that they will enjoy the trip. As far as that announcements go, I'd like to, keep in mind the Carlsons before I forgot this morning. Keep in mind the Carlsons because I think it was Judy's sister-in-law, had passed out of that kid. That's what the flowers were up here this morning. Keep the family in prayer through this difficult time, if you would, too, as well. I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers, for myself and for our where I work, the Sanctuary of Life. Obviously, we're running a little short of numbers. I mean, the families, we had the guys here and some of their families this morning, but we're a little short. A couple of guys, one of the guys didn't come back from Easter holiday, and another one, just because of poor choices this past week, ended up going his own way as well. But I thank you for the prayers, though, because we got the solid group of guys, the guys that you've seen here this morning and their families. We've got a solid group of guys, core group of guys right now that we can grow with. And things are starting to move forward slowly but surely. But I do thank you for all the prayers and for the past. I pray that you'd continue to keep us all in prayer as well moving forward, because some folks don't want it, some folks do. But like I said, we got a solid group of guys, and I appreciate all the prayers that's kept us where we're at and moving forward, where we're going from here. But as far as announcements go and everything else, that's the extent of that. The lesson tonight I come across, I put together, I entitled In His Time, In God's Time. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. There's a couple of two separate instances in chapter 14, but we're going to use Matthew chapter 14, if you would turn there, please. But before we get started, I'd like to, everybody ever remember that cartoon, the old Jetsons cartoon? where they have they press whatever time they want to eat, they just press a button on the wall and it spits out a pill and they take off running. They down and take off running. That's where our society's, I think, it's reached today. I mean, it's the culture of instant gratifications. I mean, they use microwaves. I mean, McDonald's, Burger King. It's a day and age of instant gratification. It's pastor said it's how Satan's way of keeping us busy. We were running all here, running there, running there. And I can understand exactly where he's coming from as far as keeping us busy, because he's keeping myself, Justin, busy. And there's examples of our lives as well. And it's just you going here, going there. You don't have time to stop and smell the roses, I guess you'd have the sense to say. But we are living in a day and age of instant gratification. I mean, when we talk about cell phones, when they go off while driving vehicles, impatient people taking their eyes off the road, then what happens? Scenario ends in tragedy for hundreds of people each and every year. They call it distracted driving. They die trying to know now rather than waiting until later what wasn't as important as what they thought was. But that's where we're going to go with this lesson this evening. If you would, join me in prayer, pray a bit of prayer before we start off. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, we thank you again for each and every soul, family member that's here. I thank you again for their safety, traveling mercies. I pray as we go through this lesson, in your time, let's help us to understand your time. I mean, your time frame is a lot different than ours. And help us to search and understand your time, try to understand your time frame more so than what this culture, day and age. I mean, we're in a society of instant gratification. I mean, run here, run there, things that have to be done now, yesterday. Help us to slow down. Help us to smell the roses. Help us to slow our minds down, slow our hearts, our souls. And in turn, help those outside these walls, the unsaved, whether it be out in our own backyards, in our own towns, cities, wherever they may be, to understand the same, to help them try to understand the same, to slow down. And well, thank you for that and the lesson and everything that's said tonight, this evening. I thank you for the privilege to be able to lead the lesson as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we're going to look as far as Matthew 14. We're going to look. There's two separate issues here, stories here. Christ had just found out, he knew as far as John the Baptist, who had just been beheaded before, we're going to lead into where he feeds the 5,000 and where he walks on water. And Peter, that's the two stories we're going to address tonight. But just keep in mind that, like I said, in his time, we would sometimes, even in our own lives, I'm the same thing. I have a tendency to try to run ahead of God. We all have a tendency to try to run ahead of God at one point or another in our life, whether it be whatever it may be, whether it be important, very important, or just a trivial matter. We have a tendency to try to outrun God, and it doesn't work a lot of times, and I wind up falling flat in our face, my face as well. But again, like I said, just to slow down, slow our hearts, our minds, our souls down, try to understand, try to comprehend his timetable is what we're going to look at this evening. But we're going to start chapter 14, we're going to start in 13, verse 13. And go to 21, the first group is what we're going to address this evening. When Jesus heard of it, he departed. When he talked about it, he just heard of it. He heard of the beheading. He departed thence by ship into the desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me, And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, I don't know about you, but if we use that in today's context, then some of it may be a revival service or something else. When you may only expect 200 or 300 maybe to show up, and you're able to feed that 200 or 300, and you have 4,000 or 5,000 folks show up for it. It's a little bit unnerving, I'd say. And for the people that are running those revivals or whatever they may, it's kind of hard because you have to feed that many people, and it's a desert place, as you see here, what Christ was talking about. And he couldn't just send them down the road to McDonald's, Burger King, or anything else, obviously. But that's just another lesson, another sense in time, in his time, if you look at it. If you keep that statement, in his time, as we go over these verses down through these stories, you'll see each and every opportunity he has to show the folks, to show the disciples, the people of Jerusalem, anybody. It's in his time. In his time, slow down. He's telling them to slow down. Obviously, we would be breaking our necks trying to figure out how to feed that many people in today's day and age if something like that happened. It would be we'd be nervous. We'd be bouncing off the walls like chicken, running around with chickens, like our head cut off, and then we wouldn't know. It'd be hard to swallow. But Christ just basically said, "They need not depart. Give them to eat." And they said to him, "We only have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." He said, "Babe, plain and simple." He said, "Bring them to me. Bring them hither." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And it just, I'm sure the amazement coming out of baskets, basket after basket, after they walked around the multitude of 5,000 people. It's kind of funny, you look at it, the message in my time, in his time, it just kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, because it is his time. He was the one that, he blessed the loaves and the fishes, obviously, and it just keeps multiplying, and everyone was fed. And like I said, the message in his time sticks out everywhere, every time, everywhere around the corner, every time you look at it. It's talking about, just like before, the feeding of the 5,000. It was all in his time. His disciples were anxious because they had no food, but his actions spoke louder than his words. It says, "My time." Now, we're going to look at another instance here, a separate instance, right after this. Matter of fact, we'll be starting in 22, Matthew chapter 14, and verse 22, and we'll go to 33. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get in the ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit.' And they cried out in fear for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if that be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down to the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out forth his hand and caught him. He said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased automatically. It just kind of completely stopped. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of truth, thou art the Son of God.'" It's another amazing story. We all know it because Peter, a lot of folks, they address this, these verses we talk about when they talk about Peter. Everybody, they were afraid when they seen Christ walking across the water and that time of night. And they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. But he told them who it was. And Peter said, if it's you, Lord, let me come out in the water to meet you. All he told them, Christ gave him one word. He said, come. But the thing is, Peter took his eyes off of Christ, and I mean, he put him on the waves. He started looking at the waves around him. The water was, as it says, contrary. I imagine. You might have 3 or 4 foot swells, 5 foot swells. They get kind of nerve wracking, especially if you're walking on water at the time. It's kind of nerve wracking in a boat, anyhow. Let alone that. But he took his eyes off of Christ, and he started to sink. That's one of the main lessons that we draw away from these verses here. But Jesus wanted to rescue his disciples on the Sea of Galilee where they were at. In a sense, in his time, we're looking at his time. And he rescued his, basically, like I said, he rescued his disciples here on the Sea of Galilee. As soon as he set foot in the boat, the wind ceased. The waves began, it became a calm sea. No trouble at all whatsoever. No fear of capsize. No fear of death. No fear of anything else. Just a pure peace and understanding that Christ was here. And it was in his time. Peter understood, Peter took his eyes off of Christ and put him on the water and looked around the situation that was surrounding him. He realized that he was about to lose it. He was about to go under. He started to sink. And as soon as Christ touched his hand again, they took him back to the boat as well. But that's another lesson learned. It's all in his time. And these guys that I work with, Justin works with, we like to see the guys saved. I mean, we like to see them saved as soon as possible. We got to understand also we can't force God's hand. I mean, it does no good for us to try to beat them over the head, whether try to force it, ram it down their throat, and it just drives them away. And it gets hammered home. This lesson in his time gets hammered home to me each and every day when I go to work. That we work with these guys, because they will turn. If you try to force feed them, they will try. It won't work too well. And like I said, we're in a society in today's culture and civilization that instant gratification is what we've come to expect. I guess take for granted. And we live with it each and every day of our lives. But when you're dealing with the unsaved, it's all in God's time. I mean, whether it be a day or 1,000 years, it just says like talking about 1,000 years or like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to him. He has no time. God is eternal. Christ is eternal. That's hard for the human mind to comprehend. For each and every one of us to comprehend. I've had questions with the guys. A lot of the guys had questions about that as far as eternal. How, three, you have three different beings in one, but God is eternal, Christ is eternal, the Holy Spirit, they're all eternal. How do you explain this? And the lesson that we try to instill in these guys' minds, I mean, it comes down to it's in his time. Because they'd like to say, well, whenever they come through the program and such, they like to get clean. But the thing is, they want clean. They expect to get it happen overnight. And when it doesn't happen overnight, we start seeing it falling away. We start seeing the folks will start leaving. Whether or not they want it, because they wanted it now, they didn't want it later. They want it to happen now, so they could go on to the next chapter, move on to the next chapter, and move on with their lives. I can understand that, as far as human nature goes, to move on with the next chapter in life and to get this one done and over with, because it was a rough chapter in our lives, or maybe a rough patch or a valley that we were going through. But it doesn't happen that way. I mean, we may want it to happen that way all we want, but we can try to force his hand. But I mean, if we're hard-headed like Peter was, or myself or others that I know of, we try to force the hand and things start going wrong, and then it just tumbles, it just dominoes out of domino effect. It goes the wrong way in many ways, in many different ways. And it affects each and every one of us, each and every one of our family members, our friends around us. It's like the stone that gets thrown into the pond, the ripple effect. When you heave a stone out in the pond, it lands, and there's ripples. Obviously, from there, it reaches. You have the epicenter, and those ripples go the whole way to the edge of the pond. Every decision they make, every choice that we make, we have a choice, and that's when we're throwing that stone, and it affects not just ourselves, where the epicenter is at, or a decision was made, but it affects each and every one. As the ripples move out to the edge of the pond, it affects each and every one of our family members, friends, people that we don't even know that are watching us. Because the unsaved world, they're watching us, and they're watching us closely. But our actions speak louder than words. In our cases, like I said, a lot of folks, they you can hear you people talk, but their actions don't match up. And then you have guys that speak quietly, but their actions speak way louder than their voice ever could. And that's what I'm enjoying. I thank you guys for the prayers, and the guys, the core group we have now, their actions are speaking louder than the words. And Brady, I have to use that as an example. He was just here not even 2 weeks. He's the youngest member of the group, but he's the most profound member to stand out, to call the guys out, to call the rest of the guys out that have been there for a while. Even Justin, even myself, he'll call us out, and he'll point the way. He'll lead the way. I'm enjoying his growth in just a short amount of time that he's been here with us, but it's moving along. It's starting to move forward at a more even pace now, and it's all in his time. It all comes down to his time, no matter what. There is not going to be our time. Our time is, I mean, it's relative to us and relative to the folks that we live on this earth. But like I said, when it comes down to his purposes, the Great Commission, whether it be the Great Commission or just speaking to unsaved individuals, trying to spread the word, either in our backyard, outside these walls here, in our own towns, across the pond, across the waters. It's going to be in his time, but there are those glimpses of time whenever he allows us to see the growth and what the purpose was behind each and every one, as far as the message we were trying to teach, and trying to teach these guys, trying to teach everyone outside these doors, outside these walls. But those two instances, the Lord doesn't work as far as the Lord doesn't work in our time, in our way, in that way. Like I said, 1,000 years are like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. He's in no hurry. He dwells in eternity. Like I said, it's hard to explain the eternity, the definition of eternity, when we try to think of eternal Father or an eternal being, or even our own lives as we look at life in eternity and our eternal homes after we pass, whether it be after our own death or after the rapture, whatever it may be, because it's limited. Our minds, the human mind's limited, but he does, he works, he dwells in eternity. He knows our needs, and he works in his timing to do what's best for each and every one of us and each and every one of our lives. He waited 400 years after the Old Testament to send the Messiah. Now, the Israelites, they expected to come as a conquering king. as a warlord, as somebody that would decimate Rome, that would rid them of their thorn in their flesh, thorn in the side. But he came as a humble servant to each and every one. He came to be the, as we just celebrated this past the Easter holiday, he came to be the sacrifice for each and every one of us on the cross, to shed his blood on the cross for each and every man, woman, and child from the beginning of time to the end of time. He wrote the book, beginning, middle, and end. It's been written. And it's the wonderful part about that is, like I said, the 400 years after the Old Testament to send the Messiah, Jesus even wanted the fourth watch to rescue his disciples from the Sea of Galilee, as we looked here, as we looked also to feed the 5,000. That's just not our life, the culture, the way we live our lives right there with instant gratification. This is more. It's enjoyable to try to comprehend that his timetable, to sit down and try to establish or correlate or parallel his timetable with yours. And it's amazing to see what can be done whenever you slow down and help these guys, help your neighbor, help these guys, the unsaved, or someone, a coworker at work. And it's a wonderful thing to see the accomplishment of his timetable take effect in that person's life and grow through that person's life, and then grow is like pay it forward in each and every one, each and every life that person touches as well. It's just a domino effect. Like I said, the ripple effect, it'll affect each and every one that it reaches out to. But I thank you all for the prayers because of this job that I have, that I finally found a purpose and my direction in life. And it's an awesome thing to see his handwork in his own time and with these guys and through these guys' lives and through their families' lives. And I can't say enough. And I thank God for the mercy and grace, the reason why I'm here today, to this day. And I thank him for that. I thank him for the safety as well, each and every day. I have to, as well as we try to make the guys understand the same thing. And they're here for a reason. They're here for a purpose. Each and every one of us are here for a purpose and a reason. And it's God's time. It's his timetable. Don't think that God is inactive whenever we ask him to do things. A lot of times we'll ask him for things. That's another thing when it comes down to the fact of his timetable. We ask him for a lot of things when we pray. And it's interesting to see how he answers those prayers a lot of times. And a lot of times, like I said, it'll come to the point, it's just like a working out or anything else. When you're lifting weight, you'll reach a plateau. You'll go so far, you'll keep moving forward. You'll reach a plateau that it doesn't seem like you're going to move any farther. It seems like everything just at a dead stop. And I know that that's the same explanation as far as the Christian life, as far as what our ministries go, that we have with the unsaved and the folks outside these walls. It'll move forward at a progressive rate at a certain time, through a certain time frame, and all of a sudden it seems like it hits a dead plateau, a dead stop, and it's not going anywhere. It doesn't seem like it's moving forward. It doesn't seem like it's our testimony's going any further than where it's at. It just seemed to level off, and it hasn't gotten any better. It's just a dead even, right, a plateau. But that's when God steps in, and his promise, like I said, he never leave us nor forsake us, and he never give us more than we can bear. And when he's with that whole footprints in the sand, I love that, like I said, that poem. Whenever you see that single set of footprints, he's carrying us. And that's when it carries. That's when that plateau moves forward again. That's when you start moving forward again off that plateau and moving on up the mountain to wherever he wants you, or wherever he wants to direct you in the sense of the Great Commission or the purpose in each and every one of our lives. But it's a wonderful thing to see it. I mean, not only to experience in your own life, but to see it in the lives of the folks, the unsaved, the guys, the men and women you're trying to help outside these doors. But don't think he's inactive when he doesn't answer the prayers right away. Drop a hat. like I said, it's not a microwave. I mean, we don't approach it like Burger King or McDonald's. Place the order and then drive around the side and ask for them. That's our prayer, and we walk away satisfied with our whatever we ask for. It doesn't work like that a lot of times. But just don't think he's inactive. I've seen a lot of hopelessness go through a lot of the guys' lives. Whenever they hit that plateau, they'll start to lose hope. Actually, Mikey, the one of the guys was here, you were talking to him this morning, as one of the newer guys, he came to me the other night, and he said that he feels he's starting to lose hope. And it's a sad thing when you see someone like that start to lose hope, because I've seen a lot of men, great too many men, without no hope, and they're a danger to themselves and everyone around them. And we talked it out. It took us a while that night. We talked, I would say, for a few hours, a couple hours that night, a few hours into the night. And Zach actually sent him to me to come out to me and ask me to sit down and talk to me about it. But he went away. I told him, just keep it on the up with God each and every day. Keep a constant communication through prayer, through the Bible, each and every day. I mean, he's not going to answer whenever you ask him for things. He's not going to answer right away. It may seem like he doesn't answer at all. And that's where the hopelessness comes in. And I know that's where he's coming from, and where he's going with. But we can't let them fall into despair and fall in, the depression, fall through the depression and depressive hole and state in life. And he went away from the conversation. I think he was better for it, in a sense. It comes and goes. Like I said, it's going to reach a plateau where you think it's going nowhere, and it's going to go. Just don't get desperate. Just don't despair. Don't think God's inactive whenever he doesn't answer your prayers right away. He will work all for good in his time, in his own time. So, anything to add or subtract from the message, from that last service, lesson this evening? Yes, Jeff. Yeah, I understand. I know exactly where you're coming from. We deal with a lot of that ourselves. And I've told Mom and Dad this as well. Because of this, the certain decisions I've made in the past, I mean, I hated myself and the world for a long time down through the years. And but there's a lot of folks, a lot of people that didn't cease to pray each and every day, even if I wasn't myself. for myself. And we just had this, as a matter of fact, we just had this discussion at the RU service we took the guys to. Because Sterling, he's going through cancer. His son, he's having some trouble with his sons and as well. And he's just in a depressive state. But I'm telling, just like I told him, he's a faithful man. He's a God-fearing man. And he's beat cancer four times. This will be the fourth time, hopefully. But he's depressed because of the state where his sons are at. But he keeps getting continual prayer for them as well. I told him, I said, don't give up on that. Don't give up continually each and every day. Even doesn't look like it's happening. It's going to happen in his time. Might not happen in our time. What we want it to see, what we want to see it happen. But it's going to happen in God's time. And words of encouragement to him and obviously everybody that's experiencing something like that. Don't give up hope. Because sooner or later it'll come around. Just like I said, like I told Dad, that God brings you around. I mean, he's going to be, whether one way or another, whether the easy way or the hard way, he's going to bring you back around. I mean, if you're his, he's going to bring you back around. And it's whether or not they admit that or not when they do come back around is a different story. But if they admit the fact that Christ, that God is who he is, and the truth is what he preaches, what he speaks through the Bible itself, they're going to have to admit to themselves and everybody else that they're going to come and thank you for staying faithful, for keeping the faith, for praying continually day after day, seeking help for those folks. They will come around, each and every one. I'm sure a lot of folks have issues, the same kind of issue, different, whether it be paralleled and others, but they've still went through those valleys. They'll bring them back around. I mean, continually pray and stay faithful and each and every day, and God will bring them back around. I'm telling you right now. They'll admit it, whether they want to or not. It's true. It's the truth, and it's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing when you see that happen, and they admit that, and can move forward from that situation, and grow. But like I said, it's gonna happen in his time. It's not gonna happen in our time. I mean, we may not see it. That's the sad part. We're human. Our bodies are continually breaking down day after day after day. We may not see it. Whoever we may be praying for, but the prayer will be answered in his time. Mom. After a few bumps and bruises along the way, but yeah, what Mom's talking about, I wanted to be a youth pastor with a minor in music. Yeah, I went to Baptist Bible College for a year, and a while ago, but in short, because of poor decisions I made, things that didn't materialize or come to fruition, but I was lost for quite a long time, looking for a sense of direction and a purpose in my life, and to work with folks, and whether it be here or across somewhere else, I didn't matter. I didn't know where it was going to be, and doors started to open here with Pastor Kevin, Justin, all the guys when we started talking, and things started moving forward, and. Yes, in a sense, right now I'm helping. I may not be in a sort of like a ministry situation, but it's still a purpose. Whether it be teaching these guys, helping them get their GEDs, or to help them get healthy as far as giving them a sense of discipline in their life, whether it be their eating habits, their working out habits, their spiritual life. They need a sense of discipline in their life to get them to move them forward. And it's, like I said, it's a wonderful thing to see when they come into our program. They'll come into our program and may see it with maybe 100 pounds soaking wet. And all these guys, if we put at least 40, 50 pounds on all these guys. And It's a wonderful thing to see God's hand working in each and every one of their lives. And moving forward, and paying it forward, I guess you'd say, because of the, that's my platform, what we were talking about earlier on this week. And as far as platforms, a lot of people use YouTube, a lot of people use Instagram, Facebook, whatever it may be. But each and every one of us have a platform because of our past, our life, past experiences or problems. Yes, Wendy. That's it, right? Yeah, the platform. That's that. That would be the platform that I would have. I mean, I don't like computers myself, but I don't do Facebook or any of the rest of that stuff either. So, but that would be my platform. That was where the platform came from to move forward with these guys. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the job itself. Yeah, in his time, it's all his time, but that's what we're telling you, Dad. That's a fact. Yeah, I definitely didn't learn the easy way too many times. but yeah, like I said, Jeff, they will come around. The faithful, we had a lot of folks, a lot of family members, and prayer warriors, whatever you may call them, whatever you may call it, you can call them. But he's gonna bring you back. He'll bring him back around. He'll answer prayers. Yes. Well, I mean, obviously for direction and wisdom, and in these guys' life, like I said, we got a good core guys. But I would have to say the impatience is sort of like a byproduct of wanting this day, our day and age. This lesson in his own time kept hitting me in the mouth. It kept slapping me. Reality keeps slapping me in the mouth because most of us are impatient, and I have more impatience than most maybe. I would like to see things. Obviously, what we're talking about, you find your purpose, whether your purpose may be this late in life or what, and you realize, well, we don't have much time left. I mean, we may not have much time left, and we're trying to grab everything. We're trying to get everything we can. I'm trying to push it, trying to touch all the lives we can, and it just doesn't happen as quickly as I would want to, obviously. But the impatience, that's where impatience comes from, my impatience, because I see... Just like Justin said, we all see there's so much. Even if you're just talking about addiction alone, but that's just one check off the box. Outside these walls, in our own towns, country, and there's just so much. It's multiplied and it keeps multiplying out there, and it seems to be overwhelming to a point in some circumstances. But I mean, just for the prayer, for the strength to move forward, to plow through the forward, keep the impatience. I mean, at a minimum, or obliterate it completely, completely eradicate it, because I think that would allow me settle in even better, I guess you would say, and relax and appreciate God's time, his timetable, where we're discussing this evening. And That would be probably the best as far as prayer for myself goes. Because I think that the time is growing short. When time grows short, we have a tendency to get more impatient. But it doesn't matter whatever you're talking about, the time growing short for. Human nature is just to become impatient and try to force things, try to force God's hand. We can't force God's hand. And we see that a lot. And I would say that would be one of to keep me from trying to force his hand, to push in a sense, but instead of pushing away, to be able to draw more in, draw more folks in, draw more of the guys in, to draw them in and to help them in a sense in their own life to do the same, and show them by actions, by my actions, not just by words as well. All right. Wisdom, direction. I mean, wisdom, direction. Yes. I mean, it's every little bit helps. But yes. The funny part is these guys keep reminding me that every day. They it's a steady reminder each and every day, because if they wouldn't have done what they did in their life, if I wouldn't have done what I did in my life, we wouldn't have wound up in the same place, where we were at, or knowing each other, or running across paths. It's definitely been an eye-opener for myself as well. I've learned something new each and every day. These guys, it's mostly through these guys, the guys that are there. I definitely learned something new from them each and every day that I can use that helps me as well. But, yeah. Yeah, we try to, like I said, we deal with them with respect and integrity and try to show them God's love through it. It's a faith-based, obviously, rehab. It's not like it's a non-traditional. I mean, it's not just your 30-day, 60-day thing. When they come there, it's going to be for 6 months to a year. And they have to want it in their own lives. That's the point. They have to want the change in their own life, just the same as it doesn't matter if we're talking about them or unsaved outside these walls. They have to want the change in their own life. They're seeking for it. They understand. They know that there's a loss. They know that there's a hole there that needs filled with something, and they can't put their finger on it. And that today's society is as fast as today's society is running, it just doesn't. A lot of times it'll run ahead. Like I said, not only just of God's plan, they won't only be running ahead of God's plan, but ahead of civilization, the culture, the society in itself, and that's when they wind up falling, and that's when they wind up turning to other things to fill that void, and it's not good. I mean, it's rough to see some of the guys go through it. Ted. Yes, they definitely have, and they know it. The sad part of it is the guys know it. These folks out of the unsaved, they know it, and they understand it, but they can't realize. They don't realize what they need, and that's our purpose. And as far as the Great Commission, that's as far as pointing them in the direction of the goal, their goals, God's purpose in their life, in their lives, in their lives of their families. And we try to make that paramount, each and at the forefront, each and every day of their lives, no matter who I come in contact with, whether it be these guys that I work with or anybody outside, any of the unsaved outside these walls. And like I said, it gets depressing after over time when the things don't move as quickly as you think they should, or someone doesn't make the decision that you think they should. But it is in God's time, and I've learned that more and more. That's changed my life and my character down through the years. And it's, you have to understand, it's more, like I said, it is His time. It's not our time. We have nothing. Our time, we have nothing to do with it. We have no hand in it. We're just the instrument to help God's purpose and move in all of the lives. Them guys, the unsaved, their families, lives. It's just a domino effect, like I said, a ripple effect. And hopefully it'll take grass. I'd like to see a revival, like an old-time revival like they used to have. But it's today's society and culture is kind of hard. It's kind of went, I think, too far in some ways, in some situations. And it's going to be hard to come back around as far as revival goes. But hey, it's in God's time. It could happen. I mean, you can't give up hope and say it's never going to happen. This ain't going to happen. That's not going to happen. You can't say that, because God, I mean, with God, all things can happen. And that's the simple fact of it. But yes, anything else? I appreciate everything. I appreciate it. Thank the pastor for the privilege, and I thank everyone here at the church to allow me for the privilege to speak as well in his stead whenever he's not here. And it helps, like I said, it helps me to grow as well each and every day, along with helping me. It's a domino effect, like I said, helping me to grow. It helps these guys to grow, and that's what the purpose is. And I appreciate the privilege for it. And everybody here, I pray, thank you for the prayers again. But so we'll end in prayer here, if we will. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I thank you for each and every family member here that I can call brother and sister in Christ. We're all your family, part of your family. I thank you for the prayers and each and every one that offered up. I pray for continual strength, wisdom, and direction in each family member's life here. I pray for health, guidance, wisdom, each wherever they may be throughout the week and everything, work, home, here, traveling on the roads, traveling mercies, I pray. Just pray for pastor and his wife as well as they're traveling as well. Grant traveling mercies to them. I pray that they got some R&R and they enjoyed the relaxation. I thank you for the lesson you've given myself, that you helped me through to see your time, your timetable, and how it affects each and every one of our lives, and each as far as ripple effect goes and how it spread. The actions speak louder than the words. I pray you continue to help each and every one of us become better witnesses for you, no matter where we may be and who we come in contact with. Because the time's growing short. The world, they know there's a void. They can understand that there's a void, and they need something. They don't know exactly for sure what that may be, but they're just grabbing at everything that our society and our culture throws at them, and it's going the wrong way. I pray that your truth from your word catches them, and as it fills that void, whether it be from anybody here, any of the family members here, or anybody outside these walls as far as missionaries go, pastors around the world, I pray that that void would be full of your truth from your word, and it happens as well in your time. I thank you again for this message. I thank you again for everyone here. The safety, I pray for everyone's safe traveling mercies as we leave this house, leave your house this evening, and go home, and throughout their week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.